inner hall of life.
Welcome to the Inner Hole Uprising,
the podcast about sex, love, and dating from the perspective of me, Sam, one sick-ass bitch, also a polyamorous feminist hoe living in New York City.
Me, Rodeca, one fat black pansexual whose life is a series of coincidences that somehow landed her here.
And Akua, one intersectional feminist who specializes in all things mental health and all things carefree black girl.
Two bitches in good health.
Well, semi.
Definitely
that.
Not, you know.
Have you ever had the flu?
I did once. I thought I was going to die.
Right. What the fuck?
Yeah. Like, you think it's a cold, and then you're like, wow. Hey, God, are you ready to meet me?
What's up?
Yeah. So we have two types of episodes on this here show, group episodes and interview episodes. On interview episodes, I, Sam, the principal host of this here show, and one of my rotating co-hosts talk to folks with insightful perspectives on sex, love, dating, gender, and race. And on group episodes, all of the hosts come together to chat about sexual current events in the world, our lives, and yours, and sometimes special topics. So this episode is a group episode and the beginning of our Polygamy series. For the entire month of May, we'll be talking all things polyamory and ethical non-monogamous. In this episode, we'll be opening up about our own experiences with and our feelings about non-monogamy and answering some of your questions regarding the topic. But before we get into that, we'll do a couple of short segments. They are
Bay of the Week,
where we talk about people who we find attractive.
Hoe of the Week,
where we shout out you guys, the homies, the listeners.
Self-care tip of the week,
where we give you guys some advice on how to take care of yourselves.
Pay a hoe,
which is where we beg for money that we desperately need.
And if you would like to follow along with the conversation had in this podcast on social media, you could do so by using the hashtag InnerHoeUprising so we can see it, and the hashtag PodIn so other people can see it.
If you want to pay us to speak at your school or conference about sex positivity, black feminism, or any other kinds of topics that we discuss on this here show, we'd love to do so. So please to bug us, send us a line to ihupodcast@gmail.com. Our first segment is what?
Bay of the week.
Nice.
All right. So we're going to do the Bay of the Week. And they are two people. It's Kalani. I'm pretty sure that's how you pronounce it. Kalani.
Kalani. Yeah, some people say Kalani.
Yeah, Kalani.
I don't know what she herself says.
Yeah.
She says, I'm a femme daddy.
Yeah, you know, we'll get into
I'm
that.
Cool.
Yeah, you are. You're relevant, sort of.
Yeah, exactly.
And Janelle Monae, who actually came out as pansexual now. I don't know if you heard in the beginning, but I'm pansexual. It's nice to meet you. And, you know, Sam sometimes on weekends.
Yeah. also Rob, too.
Yeah.
I just feel weird about my pansexuality because I'm not pan-romantic.
Yeah.
And that makes me feel like I'm exploiting people for their bodies. So I choose to remain silent about it. And also, I'm figuring it out.
Yeah. You know.
In private.
That's fine. I'm sorry. Did I just out you?
Yeah.
No, you didn't. Well, pansexuality. We've talked about it before, but
Yeah. They
did just come out with, they just came out, period. And after they came out, lookups of the term pansexuality rose by 11,000%, apparently.
That's hilarious.
It's a huge statistic, but that's what it is. The dictionary, Merriam-Webster, you know, those people, they are on Twitter and they were like, this is the most popular word of the day today. So it was a big deal. But what is pansexuality? GLAAD or GLAAD puts pansexuality under the bisexual umbrella, defining the term as anyone attracted to people of all genders or sexes or regardless of sex or gender. Pansexuality is a more expansive label than bisexual, including attraction beyond the male-female gender binary, to include those who are transgender fluid, androgynous, intersex, and more. So I just think that the way that they both came out was kind of awesome. Kalani was more on a social media base and Janelle did it on a magazine. But Kalani tweeted, because I keep getting asked, I'm queer, not bi, not straight. I'm attracted to women, men, really attracted to queer men, non-binary people, intersex people, trans people. Lil Polly Pansexual Poppy, hello, good morning. Hello, good morning to you too, Kalani. That was great.
Yeah, it's cute.
And then continued, if you're attracted to a man, then change your energy up when you find out he's sexually ambiguous or queer. That's gross. You about to miss out on some fire shit. But then recanted it because she did get a lot of backlash for it. Apparently, the queer label is not accepted by a lot of people. So one person specifically said, at Labiafile tweeted, "By the way, guys, queer is a slur, so straights don't say it. And the rest of the LGBT community, be aware that not everyone reclaims the Q slur." I don't think that's a popular thing, but she did end up recanting it because of that. So those tweets are not existing anymore. And apparently a lot of people feel that way. Sam is looking at me with a squinty eye. I don't know. For me, it I don't know. I can't speak for everyone who's under the queer label, but...
No, I definitely can't. I mean, that's mad weird because, like, she is queer, though, so yeah. She can say it.
She can say what she wants.
She doesn't, like, if other queer people don't want to be called that, like, I'm not going to just walk up to a woman and say, hey, you're a hoe because I'm a hoe. But, like, if I want to call myself a hoe, well, damn right, I'm a fucking hoe.
Exactly.
And I'm a nigga, too.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I'm queer.
Straight.
How about that?
Don't say it, but her previous tweet just
she
said,
just said that she wasn't straight.
Like,
yeah.
I'm attracted to everyone. I'm not straight. I'm not bi. So why
sometimes
are you coming
from I feel
from
like
her?
People just want to be, like, the king and queens of wokeness on Twitter.
Yeah.
That's really annoying.
So she was like, I retracted my queer tweet because I'm being corrected about the way in which I listed the gender spectrum, and I'm super sensitive about being offensive, especially when I'm only trying to appreciate. The point is, I love love, and that love lies in every gender there is. And that was similar to what Janelle said. She said on Rolling Stone, actually, is where she came out, and mm-hmm. she said, being a queer black woman in America, someone who has been in relationships with both men and women, I consider myself to be a free ass motherfucker.
Nice.
I just think that the way they did it was just kind of like kicking down the door and like, yeah, we're here.
Yeah, I dig it.
And in the cover story, she came out as pansexual. And after identifying as bisexual, Monet said that once she read about pansexuality, she realized, oh, these are things that I identify with, too. I'm open to learning more about who I am. And that was very similar to what I always say. So it was like, this is great.
Yeah.
This happens to everyone. Everyone who's pansexual. And if you want to know more about pansexuality and you're fans of the show, you probably already know the episode, but you should refer to season 2 in our pansexy episode where we discuss pansexuality at length.
Nice Bay of the Week segment, Rodeca.
Thanks.
I don't know if I'm sick, but I kind of want to cry. Hey. I don't know why I want to cry, but I think it was all beautiful, and I also like how it mirrors your trajectory into your pansexuality.
Thanks, man.
Yeah, but do you have sex with pans, by the way?
Because that happened a lot in the comments. Like, it was so aggravating. They're like, oh, y'all just making up shit now. And I'm like, no, I mean,
I hate people.
Y'all are dicks. And I just, the whole rhetoric throughout the week was just like, I hate everyone, I hate everyone, I hate everyone, because I just kept reading it and I got excited about the title of the article and I was like, yay. Like, and then anytime you go on Facebook or anything, as soon as you go in the comments, you just realize that humanity sucks.
Yeah. So never go in the comments.
Ever go in the comments.
Apparently, it's believed like either the person will click on the article and read it or click in the comments to write something. But the people who write something in the comments usually have not actually read the article.
True.
So,
yeah.
Like, they're willfully ignorant, honestly. So, fuck
stay em. Woke, y'all.
Exactly. Whom are our hoes of the week this week? Pill Day and SX Noir, who paid a hoe. I would also like to take this time to, even though we did this last episode never came out, as you guys can see, and it never will because I don't have the time to edit it now. And the time that I did, I was literally dying. So I want to take this time to once again shout out, even though nobody heard it, T with Queen and Jay for putting on the Pod in Live NYC event. It was a very dope ass event. I think that's where I got sick. There were so many people there. Just because there's so many people there. Like, where did
exchange pathogens.
Exactly.
I met Sam's and I never leave the house. So,
I don't.
This was a big
deal. That was a really out weekend for me. I was just like, wow, this is the best weekend ever. Fucking came back on Monday like, wow, guys. You're not gonna see me for another week. Shout out to Barry, who was in the building, who I met for the first time. That was so incredibly awesome. Shout out to like Queer Walk and the Perfect Cast, and shout out to all the other dope ass black podcasters who were in the building. the featured ones and the people who weren't featured, who just came out, such as like Meet Other Black Podcasters and Little Miss ENT, who did our interview that I haven't listened to yet because I'm pretty sure I was drunk as fuck.
That's but thank I saw her for it was there and I was it. Like, ugh.
I will listen to it at some point. Thank you to Mena, who was the producer for it, who was there with his Zoom H6N. Shout out to all of the fans who introduced ourselves, like Tawana and Tawana's wife, even though I can't remember Tawana's wife's name right now, but 90s kind of world and
her fiance.
Yes, because they were really awesome. Shout out to Milton who was there.
Yes. By connections.
Yeah. So many dope folks.
Yes.
Thank you so much for introducing yourselves to Inner Hall Uprising and coming out to the loveliest event. Thank you to Steve with Queen Jay for throwing the loveliest event. Can't wait until fucking next year, man. As I said earlier, I was dying of the flu last week. That is why there was no new episode of Inner Hall Uprising last week. There will be a new episode going forward until July. And the episode that we did record last week will come out at that time. It was with a guy named Jimmy.
Yeah.
And we talked about a queer black summer camp type experience.
It's not a summer camp. We keep calling it that.
That's why I said type experience. I don't want to give away the episode.
Okay.
Why don't you make it a Patreon episode?
Because I feel bad. It was never supposed to be that. True. So I'm just like, oh, hey, pay for this because I fucked up. Nah, that's not right.
You didn't fuck up, man. You were like literally sick. You deserve to like
you
would breathe.
Just have to be sick.
Yeah, yeah man. And like, I don't like have it. The tools to do what you do or do it. So you're just sick. You didn't fuck up.
I just feel guilty. But let's go on a self-care tip of the week now. So if you like eating chips, a good substitute for that is cayenne pepper cucumbers with vinegar and cayenne pepper and a
little
bit of salt.
That actually sounds kind of good.
Yeah, it's that savory snack, that savory crunchy snack that you need, but without like all of the calories and disgustingness.
Do you do anything to it, or you just like sprinkle the seasoning on top? Like, do you like bake it?
No, nope.
That's disgusting.
Yeah, I wouldn't bake a cucumber.
Huh? Yeah, that'd be mushy.
Yeah, I just put it in there, let it marinate a little bit. It's not to substitute any kind of meal. It's literally just a snack, just because cucumbers are like 6 calories, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And like not bad for you like chips are, even though I love chips. Now into Payo. If you would like to help sustain the Inner Hope Uprising podcast monetarily, you can do so by going to innerhopeuprising.com, clicking the tab Payo. You can also go directly to paypal.me/innerho, which takes you to the exact same place. You can buy merchandise, new merchandise coming soon, but until then, you can buy old merchandise on innerhopeuprising.com by clicking the tab merchandise. You can also use sponsor codes used in not this, but previous and future episodes, because when you support our sponsors, you do support us. You're just supporting yourself because you're getting free shit, guys. I mean, come
guys.
On. You can...
Yes.
I love the support, man. You can also now support a hoe on a monthly basis by saying, guys. And also by subscribing to us on Patreon, and you will receive perks while you're doing that. This is an easy way to throw some dollars monthly towards the show because studios, transportation, and events are not cheap, and as you can see, every episode is not sponsored. If you're able and you'd be so kind, visit our Patreon, which is patreon.com/innerhoeuprising. Which will be available in the description of this episode, and donate $2, which will give you access to private IHU gatherings like our barbecue coming up in July, as well as our undying love and affection. And for the price of $5 a month, you can get all that, as well as some exclusive behind the scenes video content like our full episode with Kim. You can also now donate less or more. So that's anywhere from $1 a month to $1 zillion a month. Anything is appreciated. This is just a more consistent way to pay a hoe, pretty much spending what you would on Apple Music, but to help your favorite hoes.
Speaking of support, want to help us out and win some free IHU merch at the same damn time?
Oh, yeah.
New merch, because you need to look out for that. We're running a special contest for spring, and all you have to do to enter is rate and review us on Apple Podcasts. By doing this, you're helping us pop up on lists that Apple curates. This will help expose us to new listeners and sustain us in the long run. If you want to participate, it's easy. All you have to do is follow the link, and that will be in the description of this episode. Then hit the purple subscribe at the top of the page. Scroll down to ratings and reviews, click the button write a review, tap 5 stars, write a nice title or a shitty title, as long as it's 5 stars, and review, and finally hit send. We will randomly be selecting a winner who will be announced by the end of spring, so stay tuned.
Mm-hmm. And if you find that your review is not going through, it's probably because the nickname you chose is not unique enough. So if you're clicking send and nothing's happening, just cancel, go back, make a new nickname, and try again. All right, so we're popping things off with
Fuck Me,
the segment about our sexual, romantic, and dating lives. And since this is the beginning of our polygamy series, we're talking about our experiences with polygamy, but actually polyamory.
My experience is a secondhand experience. I first learned about polyamory when Sam began her journey as polyamorous. And I was like, nigga, what?
Is that really what you were like?
What happened was, we didn't know. This was a thing between Sam and Akeem because it's their relationship. And here I was on Soul Swipe, swiping for a nigga. Who do I come across? Motherfucking Akeem. So here I am. I'm like, oh, shit. My brain is going like 5 miles a minute. I'm like, all right. And so I start to rationalize. I'm like, okay, I remember they wanted to do a threesome. Maybe he out here looking for a third. Yeah. I don't know.
Yeah.
Left it at that. Didn't say nothing. I was like, I'm going to talk to Sam when I see her before I put this in a group chat, because I don't know what's about to go down.
She was a good friend.
Because I was going to key his car and bust his windows. But I was like, I like Akeem, so this can't all be true. You know, this is just me jumping to conclusions. Yeah. And then when I finally did get to talk to Sam, she was like, yeah, we just out here.
We were out there.
I was like, oh, okay. So I have to Google this and figure out what this is now. And that was it. Kind of just following her ups and downs, the ebbs of her relationship through polyamory, and realizing at the end that it is not for me.
Why so?
Polyamory requires constant communication and real commitment to those that you enter into other relationships with.
Mm-hmm.
My weakest point in life is communication, and monogamy allows me to not communicate. So I will sit in my comfort zone and not develop myself.
That doesn't seem great.
I'm being real. I'm literally being real. Like,
now that's great.
I'm literally in therapy. Like, I don't know how to communicate to people. So I just know that polyamory would not. Monogamy barely works for me. Because of this same reason, because of lack of communication. Polyamory will, like, just, my whole life will turn into flames. It would not work.
Yeah, that's a good, you're doing good things with your life.
Self-actualization, that's
exactly
good.
Exactly.
For me, it's two firsthand experiences, if that makes any sense. I guess for me, it was an experience of not recognizing it as polyamory and just something I was accepting with. So it's people that are really, really close to me that I see every, like, almost every day, and I always talk to them, and they're like, really, we just talk, and, like, they're a couple, so I would always hear things, and I'm like, maybe they're just freaky, you know? Like, I don't know. Like, hey, I've always been the type of person where I don't care what you do as long as you ain't killing nobody, so.
Is that the definition of it, though?
Yeah. Like, no.
Maybe they're just freaky.
No, well, that's what it was at first, because I would hear things like, it's so hard to explain, like, stories that were obviously like threesomes or just like another person being in there, and I'm thinking, like, you know, just having a threesome or it's just just one or two one-off instances, you know what I mean? But for them, they call it a lifestyle. So, like, literally a lifestyle. They don't even name it as polyamory or anything like that. It's just called the lifestyle. But for that, it's just like...
That's comedy.
Yeah. But for me, it's just like, that's how I was introduced to it, because they're people that I speak to every day. And I figured it out because of the fact that I'm just like, okay, you're going to this beach and you're like, you know, having partners and doing things like that. And I'm like, you guys are still together, still having a relationship, still living your life. And it's not like you guys are separating, so clearly there's like a third or a fourth or a fifth, and there's other things that you guys are doing consistently. So for me, it was just like, that's how I learned about it. I always hear the wild stories and I just be like, oh, this is crazy. And I didn't know that it was something, I guess in my head it, I always felt like it was either you're having threesomes or you're having extramarital affairs, but never like, oh, you guys are okay with this and you guys are having a conversation. And there are people who, like, I've always thought about it and I was like, maybe I'm just being selfish. I guess that's always what I've, like, because I've always been interested in it, and I've always thought that I was selfish because I would bring it up to other people that I was with, and they'd just kind of be like, that's kind of weird. And I'm like, okay, maybe I'm just crazy. But when they did it, I was like, oh, so it is possible to have that and still like maintain a healthy relationship. But then to have it by polyamory and an actual name, that was you. And I found out about it. Yeah, I found out about it because, well, it's not a crazy story, but I had a house party and me and Sam had not like hung out in a while. So it was just like she came over and like she sat on my lap and we were drunk. And she was like, yeah,
I love drunk y'all.
She was like, yo, man, remember when we were best friends? I was like, yeah, man, that was a thing. And we were just like, she's like, yo. Me and Akeem were doing a thing now. I was like, what's up? She's like, we're in an open relationship, man. I was like, wow, that's crazy. And I was just like, I was unfazed. And I was like, yo, you see that nigga over there? I'm trying to fuck him. You're like, yo, fuck him. That guy's my boyfriend now. So, you know, she gives some expert advice.
Moral of the story.
I did fuck that dude that night. And here he is. So, but that was the conversation. And it's just like, yeah. That's polyamory.
Yeah. Yeah.
While you were talking, I realized hearing or internalizing polyamory, like, in the media through, like, various ways. So I always had this, like, I kind of still do have this monogamy default. And then hearing things in the media about someone giving their husband a pass.
Yeah.
Or a hall pass. Or, like, the term open relationship. Those are things that you come across in the media all the time and not, like, it doesn't faze you because it's you when you have this monogamy default, you put it as the other. Oh, they're just freaky. That's what they do. But yeah. The rest of us do this when the data shows that the rest of us aren't really doing
we're
that.
All yeah, actually exactly. Open relationships.
Because even in your monogamous relationship, niggas got side chicks, side wives, side families. Like, your grandpas was out here. Don't act like they weren't.
It's true.
Yeah, that one other cousin that you have who's like... He has a different mom, but nobody knows why.
And that's the thing. Not like in my family, there are like literally my grandpa. Let me just bring it back to me because that's who I was shading. My grandpa had 32 kids with four Damn. Different wives.
Yeah.
Like that's polyamory, my nigga, because they all know.
Polygamy.
Okay.
Yes.
Because they all know.
We all know each other. We all, like, okay. At the family reunion, my father and his siblings all grew up together if they could because our culture is very matrilineal, so you kind of hang out with your mother's side of the family a lot more. Mm-hmm. But, you know, they all know each other. They all, like...
They all know, but were they all consenting? Because that is actually polyamory. So, like, and then also, like, with the lifestyle, like, the people that you know or whatever, like, the lifestyle is not necessarily polyamory.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So, I think it's all, first, like, everything that we've talked about is all under the umbrella of non-monogamy.
Yes.
Some of it is under the umbrella of ethical non-monogamy. Your grandpa is not that. Or maybe. I don't know.
Yeah. What was going on with the elder heads. Yeah. All I know is, everybody just kept having kids, so they was okay with it at some point.
Yeah.
Whether they chose to just accept it or it was a conversation had, I don't know. Yeah. I can't go that far back in history.
Yeah, that was exactly. Always a question I had, though, like, because I know there's different subsets, and I was like, what's the difference between polyamory and an open relationship?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Let's get into things like that. So, like, for example, with me, when I was in an open relationship or whatever, like, at the genesis of it, what did we really want and what did we really think that we were doing? So I think that we both thought that we wanted polyamory and we thought that all ethical non-monogamy was polyamory.
Mm-hmm. Got it.
But there's a difference. So polyamory is specifically the desire to or the practice of being with several people at once intimately and romantically. An open relationship can also fall under that umbrella, but specifically it just means that you can have sex with other people in your relationship. And that can also fall into different things. It could, like, an open relationship could also be a swinging relationship, or it could be, okay, I'm going that way, I'm going this way, and we're going to fuck other people, and we don't know who the other person is fucking or whatever, but we've agreed upon it consensually. So at the genesis, I think what we both thought we were saying was that we were just going to fuck other people, which is just an open relationship and isn't actually polyamory. But we were calling ourselves polyamorous because we listened to this one podcast about polyamory. And we're just like, that's what we are. But that's not what I ever wanted in that relationship or whatever. I just wanted to have sex with other people. I didn't really want to like date other people or anything like that. Or if it was dating, I didn't want to like be intimate with them or romantic with them. I just wanted to have a good time. And that's what I think that he wanted as well, although I can't speak for him. But then he was like, really dating people, like seriously dating people. And I was like, that's not what we talked about. And then we had like a lot of push back and forth between that. So it's like polyamory or just ethical non-monogamy in general is like, it requires a lot of communication and you're going to like make a lot of mistakes and there's going to be a lot of miscommunication there just because that's what we are as human beings, especially like monogamously indoctrinated human beings. Mm-hmm. So then we have to like do extra work to even unlearn that. And then also we're in a relationship. So we're already doing extra work because we're two people trying to make something work or whatever. So we like worked through that. And then it was like, okay, it's fine. We're dating other people. And then all of a sudden I had another boyfriend or whatever. So then it was like legit polyamory. It was like,
all of a sudden.
Like, it happens, man. Sam got the juice.
That's what it is.
Sam, niggas just be cuffing Sam, but she's like, I don't
want
niggas
you. Niggas out here battling for her heart. We were like,
Sam has the option to reject niggas. I don't know what that is.
I don't know what that is.
I'm just like, oh, someone's attracted to me? Okay, I'm going to take you. No, that's not true. But still.
Please, guys. Kind of. Please, don't be awesome. But yeah, when it was that, I feel like that's when I fully and actually became a polyamorous person. Mm-hmm. And that I was actually in a romantic thing with more than one person at once. And I enjoyed doing that. I enjoyed giving love in two directions and I enjoyed receiving love in two directions. And I also felt like I could do it. And I felt like I was actually doing it. And I don't think I was like neglecting anybody or anything like that. But then it got weird because, I mean, Akeem didn't care. He was just like, I'm trying to fuck whatever, son. And that was fine or whatever. It like bothered me at the time because it was like a thing with us where he kept like overstepping boundaries. Mm-hmm. And then we had to like re-talk about the boundaries. But I feel like the talk was always like met with like a clash because he was just like, the fuck, I'm just trying to do what I'm trying to do. And I'm just like, I just want you to talk about what you're trying to do.
That's it.
And then my other boyfriend, whose name I don't say on the show anymore or whatever, because I don't think he wants to be associated with it, was like, he never wanted to be in a polyamorous relationship, which also makes it weird because like that feels very non-consent-y. But I mean, he did consent. He was just like, this is probably gonna be bad, but I'm gonna do it anyway, which, like, there's a warning there, people. If there's one person in your polyamorous setup, even if it's you, who's like, I'm not really quite with the shits, even if it's just, like, a little bit of hesitancy, like, don't do it. Like, it'll make for a great, like, season of a podcast when you have, like, mad shit to talk about. But in real life, that shit is not really that fun. So, like, that's where we got into issues there because he was, like, never with those kinds of shits. I think he is with non-monogamous shits in that, like, he's, like, down for, like, threesome shits and things like that. But, nah, he's not down with, like, being with one person who's in love with two people or anything like that. So, yeah, that was that time. Anything else that I should say?
Well, we can go into these questions I curated.
Yeah.
Though we've kind of touched on them, just your personal opinion. And this is something in doing some research I just kept, it was like conflating. So in your opinion, is polyamory a lifestyle or a sexual orientation?
That's a very good question, Akua. I'm proud of you for asking that question. So in my experience, polyamory is a lifestyle and not a sexual orientation. I think I could go without it and be perfectly fine, which is not like if somebody's like gay, then they're just fucking gay. Like they're not going to be like, oh, I'm not going to be gay no more. Mm-hmm. I don't know if that's like that for everybody, though. So I feel like there are some people out there probably who like need to be in several loving relationships at once, but I don't think that's me.
I still, even with that definition, I kind of still feel like it's a lifestyle. I feel like even if they need to, it's just like that's the what they choose to do, you know?
Not that I said that out loud, I didn't like that. I take that back.
You don't like it? Does that make it an orientation?
I agree with your lifestyle.
Yeah.
Somebody get Rebecca a MAGA hat up here. No, I'm just kidding. I don't know specific like needs and stuff like that or like what really goes into you as a person. Like
that may be your orientation. Yeah. Your romantic and sexual orientation.
Yeah. I think it depends on the person. It's a lifestyle. Like, I think
I don't know that I'll never not be satisfied if I'm not in an open relationship or like a polyamorous relationship, but it's always something I think about, I guess, if that makes any sense. Mm-hmm. So does that make it an orientation? Because I'm always thinking about it even when I'm in a monogamous relationship.
I think another thing here, like, that trumps everything, but also kind of doesn't because it's like weird and whitewashed, would be science though.
Yeah.
Like how science is like, okay, well, there are more than one gender, or hey, you are born gay or something like that. So I think that would be like the definitive answer to this, but I don't know if they've ever actually even looked into that. I don't know if they care.
Ooh, I get to dive into academia again.
No, I'll let it do it.
An academic ho.
Two, do you guys think poly is a trend like kale? Is it the kale of romantic and sexual lifestyles?
Kale was on shirts at one point.
Is it the kale of...
I think
pansexuality might be more kale than polyamory is.
It's not a trend.
Even though they're not like...
Yeah.
You can be both.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think it's more like...
I'm not saying that either... Sorry, I don't think either of those things are trends.
Like, I don't think it's a trend.
But I think they're...
I think the spotlight on it is different.
Yeah, exactly.
I think it definitely is something that's popular to talk about now. Like, that's why they brought She's Gotta Have It Back. Like, maybe because... I mean, it's an old movie, but they brought it
She's
back.
She's Gotta Have It Back because of Inner Home Uprising, son. And clearly. And I'm gonna, like, fight to the death till anybody recognizes that.
You need to talk to him about that, because he knew.
I need some kickback and also like a better second season, because the first season was trash.
I never watched it because there was too many mixed reviews.
Good.
I'll wait.
It's good to hate watch it and then listen to Tea with Queen and Jay's
review.
Yeah,
I was just about
that's like that's actually a very good experience, because you're just like building it up like, oh, I'm so mad. And they're just like saying exactly and why you're mad.
You want to talk about it, and then they're just like, here it is.
Yeah,
you're
exactly.
Like, yes!
Exactly.
Like, you're listening to the podcast like, yes, and that bitch.
Yeah.
But I do think that it's a trend to talk about. Because it's always existed. It's not like...
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
I think it's like... Because, like, what you said earlier, cool, like, with your grandpa and just, like, everybody. Like, we all know niggas who cheat. Mm-hmm. I think that, like, people can now latch onto that, whether it be in a healthy way or a not so healthy way. Mm-hmm. And it's just, like, a thing that we identify with in general, because people do step outside of monogamous relationships so much. Mm-hmm. And we're trying to understand why. I think some people, like, actually use that to question, like, hey, am I polyamorous? Mm-hmm. But some fuck niggas use that to just be like, hey, I'm polyamorous, so I'm gonna fuck whoever. Mm-hmm. And you're not.
Yeah, can we just like say that that's not what we're advertising or talking about or advocating or anything at
it's
all?
It's a trap. That's what it
like,
is.
If that's what's going on, like, you're being emotionally like misled and abusive.
Coercive.
Yeah. Like,
dick.
Yeah. It's supposed to be a healthy conversation. It's supposed to be you and another partner.
Consensual.
Consensual.
That's what it should be.
Exactly.
Consensual.
Like, something where you want to explore a different realm in your relationships, period, then that's okay. But... like, if you're finding out later that he's been with another girl,
yeah, exactly. He shouldn't step out first and then be like, hey, I'm polyamorous, by the way.
It's fucked up.
Or he shouldn't be, or they shouldn't be bringing up the subject in that same scenario that I want to do this, but you can't do A, B, C, D.
Yeah,
Unless you don't want to, but you're okay with them. Again,
exactly.
Those are also another... It's just about... Really, it's about setting the parameters within your relationship. Like, with the...
So it's fair.
Yeah, what I was talking about with the people that I know, actually, at first, it was just an open relationship, but the woman in the relationship actually has had boyfriends, like, legit boyfriends, but he's not interested in it. So it was something where she dove forward and, like, had... like a relationship, but he just wasn't, but that was fine for them. Mm-hmm. I think it was like something that, well, I was gonna say, clearly it excites him to see with another person. So, but that's what it is. He doesn't care. Like,
is he a cuckold?
I think that's what it is. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I think I have that streak within me too.
Yeah.
And I've always wanted to explore that.
I like
but...
that. I've been, I have,
thanks.
Yeah, well, not about you.
You said it so,
nobody cares about you.
You just said it so brightly.
I like that.
Yeah. I was going to say, I have this very self-deprecating cuckold fantasy, and a part of me does not know how it will play out. It may end up well, and people may get murdered. I don't know.
Oh, no.
I don't know. But I want to see what happens, but I also don't want to end up in jail, so... I mind my business and I stay within the
same. That sounds like the best thing to do for right now.
I just don't know.
Because we don't need you in jail.
I don't know.
Oh, I just realized technically I not dabbled, but I tried, or at least I had the conversation about being polyamorous with my current
boyfriend.
Yeah, I mean, that's what I thought you were going to discuss.
Yeah, we, so when, before we got together, we have always been really good friends. So we talked and we would always be like, yeah, man, you know, I wish I could just be in a situation with somebody and like, we're cool. But like, let's say I'm out and I want to like, it's not polyamory though. This is an open relationship. So now I know the difference. But it was like, you know, we're out and like you hit it off with somebody and then you just kind of like text your partner like, hey, I'm going home with such and such. And you're just like being honest about it.
Yeah.
And then like, you just do it. And we had that conversation. He was like, I'm interested in that too. So it was more like, okay, so if it was this situation, what would you want to happen? And like, we literally had like several conversations where we just like went over everything and communicated like what it would be.
Yeah.
Before like we were even in a relationship. And then it was like, yeah, let's do it. So then we ended up in a relationship and like nothing has happened yet because I think me and him are, well, mostly because I'm just fine. Like, I'm not actually, I haven't met anybody that I wanted to, like, go home with. I haven't done anything like that. But also, like, me and him are, it's like a new relationship. We, not a new friendship, but a new relationship. So we're still trying to figure out, like, balancing each other. And for me, it's, like, so important that we have a solid foundation and we know each other in and out before we even try and introduce anything. Like, hey, I'm going home with somebody. You know what I mean? But it is something we talked about. And it is something that, theoretically, neither one of us have an issue with. I think the most that we've done is kind of like a flirtation type of thing where I knew a girl was interested in him and it wasn't manipulative because he thought that she was attractive too. So like they were like flirting with each other and he came up and he was like, is that okay? I was like, yeah, I don't care. Like, you know, I was chilling in the corner. This is when I had left my other job and we had like a going away work party and she was there and they're like the whole night, like they were together, like they were holding hands and they were like, And then, like, my friend came over and was like, you okay with this? And I was like,
cool is dying.
I was just sitting. The anger that just flamed in me is exactly why I just realized, like, this is how I know none of this is for me because
that's why we're different people. I got a little wet. I was like, ooh, they holding hands.
You know what I mean? I was sitting in the corner like a don, like, you think you get him, huh? It's all right. But you don't, like, if anything had happened for me, my friend had came up to me and was like, do you see that? And like, she doesn't know the ins and out of our relationship. She knows like we're close. And I was like, yeah. And they don't, like, no one knows, but he had already spoke to me about everything. It's like something where if I had said no, I'm pretty positive he wouldn't have even pursued it. But it was like, he had a conversation with me. We talked about it. And I was like, I'm perfectly fine with it. And it was interesting. I think it's kind of hot. Yeah. You know, she's interested in him.
I heard flirting. I was like, all right, that's cool. Holding hands. See, we don't get physical with these bitches.
She was
bitches.
Buying
I don't
him
know
drinks.
Her.
They were chatting.
You want to fight me now? This is disrespectful. Like, this is just how I bitches. Know.
He's interesting because he's very hands-off in a lot of aspects. If I say, we were at Pod and Live, and I was trying to come over to him and he was like, go away. Like, he was like, this is your event.
He gave
us
a lot of drinks.
He bought
us
drinks. He was like, do you want some
drinks?
I don't know. Every time our cup was empty, he was like, I was like, yeah. So that's what kept happening. But like, he was over in the corner. He was chatting with people. If I was like not trying, he was like, you need to mingle, you need to meet people, you need to network. But he was like, yeah. And I was like,
like, bro, that could get out.
He would good not nigga. Let me stand next to him because he knew that. And then Sam Cruz kept saying, like, that's a good nigga, he's a nice guy. That's what she kept saying. And I was like Bryce moved me away. And she was like yeah, because he's a good guy. I was like, all right, cool.
And the fact that she had just said that sitting on this couch is like, yeah, she said it.
I did say it. Damn. But it's just like, it's interesting because I think it's also don't put a pressure on the situation to move or to become something. Like, we had the parameters and I think if it happens, it happens. Mm-hmm. It depends. If that's something that you need, then don't sacrifice it for someone. But at the same time, for me anyway, what's working is kind of just like, now I know that it's something we've talked about, so if it does happen, I'll bring it up again and it won't be like, where the fuck did you just come from with that?
But
I don't know,
that's kind of what I wanted originally. Was just like the option to do it, and then I felt like 3 days later he was just like, hey, bye. I'm on a date. Talk to you later.
Well,
yeah. And I was just like, oh. I was like reading books about it and stuff like that. And he was just like going full
Sam
force.
Sam was like,
Sam was like, I'm going to just like educate myself.
And just
see what we're bringing to the table. And he was like, we're jumping in.
He wanted tactile experience. Yes. Yeah.
It's like, we're just going for it.
I mean, maybe it's different because you guys had been together for quite a long time before you'd even brought it up or even delved in. Like, this is, we talked about it and it's been like a couple of months. I don't even know how long it's been. We don't have an anniversary, which is kind of fucking weird, but.
You could just make one.
Yeah.
Make it but a cool
he
day.
Was like, we celebrated every day. And I was like, that was the most fuckboy thing you've ever said.
He's not a good nigga
anymore.
And
we were just laughing.
I take
but
it back.
Like, he just said shit like that. And I was like, that was terrible. I hate
that's
you.
Why.
He was like, yeah, that was bad. But, you know, and that's
aww,
it.
That kind of makes it cute.
You're not going to be flip-flopping over here, Samantha. He's a good that's nigga.
That's an okay
too.
Nigga.
He's all right. That's pretty much what it is. Yeah.
The last question, which, because we went through most of this, what I really want to know, because we've heard how my anger and jealousy just came out just vicariously listening to Rodeca's story. What about Polly resonates with you so much? Like, where does the root sit in you that it's like, that is for me?
So I feel like within my first relationship, my first serious relationship was a very long relationship, was like 8 years or something like that. I just didn't have any other sexual or romantic experience with anyone else, not seriously or anything like that. So there was just always that thing in me that would be like, am I ever going to experience anything with anyone else? Mm-hmm. So that was always there. But then also, I don't know, just like my, I don't know, whatever way that I look at the world, I just thought that monogamy wasn't a sustainable way to carry out a relationship. Not that like my dad cheated on my mom or anything like that, or that I saw people cheating on anybody in life. It was just like an observation of the world. I just figured I don't think that two people should just like be the only ones having sex with each other, or at the very least flirting with each other for the rest of their lives. I just think that they're gonna get bored. So that's why I was attracted to it. Mm-hmm. That's why I wanted to experience it for myself, because I felt like I was going to get to that point if I was just like with him and him alone forever, because mm-hmm. I did also know that I wanted to be with him forever. Mm-hmm. But then in terms of like how it actually makes me feel when I'm like with more than one person at once, I don't know. It's just like, do you like having more than one friend, for example?
I could do with a friend. If they're, it's like, if they're consistent.
Yeah, but do you like having more than one friend?
Yeah, bitches, I.
Do you like having more than one friend or not? Yeah. It's just good to have that kind of energy, like, from multiple sources. It just feels really good. And then also giving it. I like to give love to people, too. That also feels really good to give it to more than one person at once.
Mm-hmm. For me, it comes from, I guess, a lot of things just makes me as a human being, I guess. But I'm always thinking like, yo, life is mad short. Like, do whatever you want. Mm-hmm. That's just the way that I am sometimes. But also in terms of kind of to branch off of what Sam said, I've been in 2 4-year relationships. So I guess 8 if you put them together.
Hey, we're the same.
Yeah, we are. Yeah. We are one. But I've been in long relationships. And for me personally, I don't want to say, because I'm sure some people are happy with one person, but for me, it's not that I love the other person less, but I've had connections with other people, or like I flirted with other people accidentally, completely so, just because it's just like a vibe, you know what I mean? And for me, I'm like, is this cheating? I don't want to be a cheater. I don't want to do that. It's not even something that I'm thinking about. I'm not like, I think it was just more like being honest and having the opportunity if it did come up. Mm-hmm. Or just like, It was more in the spirit of honesty. Like, for me, after those relationships, I ended up meeting the person, Bryce. I don't know why. I say his name all the time now, so I don't know why I do that.
The person.
Yeah, the person. I ended up meeting Bryce, and I just thought to myself that I wanted to be as honest as possible. And if he's still with me or still rocking with me at the end of it, then I'm good. Like, you know, I don't have to be anyone else. Mm-hmm. So for me, it's like, if I'm flirting with someone, I like being able to say, like, that person's flirting with me, or this person likes me, or this person's attracted to me, and saying mm-hmm. it to my partner, because I also feel like they should be my best friend. And with my best friend, I'm talking about niggas that, like, that's are cute, you know what I mean? You know what I mean? Yeah. So, like, for me, it's just, like, if someone thinks he's cute, like, I'd rather him tell me, like, yo, this girl thinks I'm cute. And I'm like, oh, that's cute. Rather than, like, he feel guilty about someone being attracted to him. You know what I mean? Or mm-hmm. something like that. Yeah. I just don't want the air of guilt. So if we're being honest and open about what we want, if it does happen where you're, like, you're really feeling somebody, like, but for me, it would never really be more than the person that I started with. I don't think I'm interested in polygamy or polyamory of like being in a relationship with another person. I think it's just more like having fun up until sex, but not like, oh, we're like a boyfriend and girlfriend. I don't know. I haven't gotten that far yet.
Yeah.
So for me, I don't know.
So you with the non-monogamy thus far?
Yes, thus far. It's just all about kind of like going with emotions because this is all brand new. Like my other relationships, I got into it strictly monogamous and it would be me who would bring up the subject. And I guess it was just the partners that I was with. They just weren't with it. They just like, am I not enough for you? And I was like, that's not what I'm saying. You know what I mean? And it's weird coming from people that are close to me that are really open to about things like that. So you see that it's possible to work, but you can't force that on a person that's not interested.
Yeah.
So now I found somebody who's interested. So I am willing to do whatever comes along. You know what I mean? So,
Yeah. Yeah, something about that freedom makes it even,
you know,
it's just like a good peace of mind to have, even though you're not like out there trying or whatever.
Yeah. And okay. I'm also with Sam in terms of like, I'm really affectionate. I like to talk to people. I like to, you know, I like to give love to people. So for me, it's just like, I don't want to lose a person. And maybe it's selfish, but I don't want to lose a person I love if I find somebody else who I also like. Because so it's like you just vibe with a lot of people and you never know what's going to happen.
Yeah. Yeah.
Life I feel is like long, that too. Yeah.
Also, I like having multiple loves at once. It sounds like a weird card. but I feel like you find yourself differently with other people.
Yeah.
And that's
It's
a really cool experience to have because you don't want to like stop finding yourself with one person. I just want to like explore my other self with this person. Also, what attracts me to it is that I want to be cuckolded. And it hasn't happened yet. What the fuck?
Make it a priority.
True. Yeah. I got to set goals. I got to make moves. Should we read Rob's thing now?
Yes, a message from Rob.
All right, here's Rob's experience with open relationships. If you are a first-time listener, Rob is our fourth co-host who is deployed right now for the next 8 months, but they'll be back in 8 months. But here is a letter from them about their experiences with an open relationship.
Rob says, "Well, I didn't quite have one the first time I tried it. My ex and I kind of just began dating and cohabitating pretty fast as we knew each other for a decade, but never really established what we were. Once things got really serious, he began calling me his partner, and I thought that meant we were exclusive. Then he had sex with his ex while we were on vacation.
Trash.
Then slept with me the same day unprotected.
Trash.
Whew, that hit me in the heart. He thought it was okay because it was an open relationship, and I'm like, question marks. You know you gotta communicate regardless, right? Right. Then I'm like, okay, let's close it. I want to be with you and only you right now. Maybe we can try an open relationship later. But he kept pushing for it. And I began realizing it wasn't because he wanted to fuck other people. He wasn't a very sexual person by nature and jerked off more than anything. It was that he thought being open would mean spending less time with me, being less attached to me. He thought it was a partial breakup. My son had no idea that the basis of an open relationship was a strong interpersonal relationship with your partner. Then, after we broke up because he wanted to be fake single, he began dating his ex again, making me realize he also wanted an open relationship so he could also date his ex, thus also confusing open and poly and confusing lying with fake honesty. As you know, I hate this nigga. As we know, they hate that nigga. Point is, do your research. Know what you want and communicate that. If you don't know, how could your partner be with the shits? You'd miss vital points and neither of your needs will be fully met. You'd miss vital points and neither of your needs will be fully met. You really might not want an open relationship. You really might not want a relationship in general, and you want just sex partners or sex partners and relationships. There's levels to non-monogamy and Google is there for you." Yes, come through with the Google. It's free. "Also, practice decency. Meaning, if you're going to sleep with your partner having slept with someone else, maybe you should tell them. That was a big fuck up for me as I thought he wasn't honest about that. How could I be sure he used condoms? Set boundaries. Exes are always boundaries for me, but if we talk about it, maybe I would be okay with it." Do you guys want to discuss your partners as you were friends?
Oh, do you want to discuss your partners as if you were friends, or would you rather not know the details? Do you need to meet them? It's a process. Learn it. Like, basically, do you want to talk to the person that you're with about them as if you're, like, a friendship type of thing? Which I don't think it has to be about, like, friends. And then it says, would you rather not know the details of the people that they're sleeping with? And do you need to meet the person that they're sleeping with?
Oh, it's a process. I get it. Learn it. Okay. Okay. Mm-hmm. Thank you, Rob. Words from Rob.
No, I think that was, like, a good highlight on that. Like, people just using the guise of polyamory or open relationships to, like, do whatever the fuck they want to do. So if you're on the other side of that, definitely arm yourself with the tools of knowing what you want and the ability to speak up for what you actually want, and, like, calling bullshit on their fake-ass polyamory or whatever. And if you are the type of person who, like, wants something else out of your relationship, whether it be, like, not even a relationship with that person and you're using polyamory as a guise, like, don't do that. That's just wrong, honestly. Thank you guys for listening to our experiences about polyamory. Now we're going to answer a little bit of your questions before we wrap up in a little segment we like to call
Fuck You.
And if you would like to ask us for some advice, share your hotels, or rant against the white cishet patriarchy, please send your thoughts to ichewpodcast@gmail.com. And please include your pronouns so we don't misgender you on the show.
Yeah, I don't know who wrote it, so give them a name.
Ocasia.
Ocasia.
Yes, Ocasia.
All right, Ocasia. So Ocasia says, to my favorite hoes, y'all are hilarious and forever relevant. Thank you. I fell in love after coming across the Hungover Heartbroken Hoes episode. That was a good episode. Unplanned. We were just all coincidentally very hungover. Because that is the story of my ongoing existence, and have backtracked to try and get to understanding... to try to get to understanding the progression of the show. I relate so much to what you guys have to say. This is honestly a better representation of living in New York as a 20-something than Sex in the City, Friends, anything has ever been. And I hear myself cackle every time you each share a story that I feel I have also lived. I found you guys when I was picking back up with my hotation because celibacy just made me mad frustrated and still confused. I gave it up to try to reach clarity, and I did to a certain extent. Clarity led me to bomb ass head. You guys have carried me through this process just like my own friends, which is why I continuously share your podcast, but also want to start my own. I'm picking up and moving back to Brooklyn so I can join you all.
Oh, hey, yay. Welcome.
Can't wait to see you. Right now, I'm getting something different out of all the men I'm seeing, and together they make up the perfect human, and it's wonderful. But when I went into this with the idea that I didn't want anything, but I went into this with the idea that I didn't want anything else from any of them. One of these guys is polyamorous, and I've never really had an understanding of how that works, and I've been trying to talk to people about it, but most of my friends are either monogamous or they are hoes. It tends to be like that. And I'm having a hard time tackling the understanding of less than platonic relationships that aren't exclusive but are mutually beneficial. I have communicated with this person and let them know my insecurities and concerns. And since the connection doesn't have much room to grow sexually, we talk a lot and it gets really deep and emotional, which is weird for me. So I asked him what he got out of it, because I honestly feel like I just get free therapy sessions from a gentle giant and that likes to make out occasionally. And he mentioned it was the emotional intimacy, but just, like, how does anyone have that capacity? I am really just trying to understand this other way of thinking, and you have all created a space that I think is comfortable for everyone, and request a bit of your guidance, experience, journey, frustrations, reasoning behind being poly. And maybe it's just because I'm supremely damaged because I'm confused as to how someone has the capacity to share that much love. Anyway, maybe you guys have already discussed this, but I will come across it soon. But can you discuss polyamory more? I've never really believed in owning a person and think marriage is bullshit, but how do you share without hurting? I have a great time hooking up with multiple dudes, but we aren't committed and we don't pretend we are. This poly guy is the one I'm the most emotionally attached to, and that's what freaks me out. Okay, that's it. Thanks for creating this show, you beautiful unicorns.
Oh,
thank you.
Okay, Ocasia.
We are going to talk a little bit more about polyamory if you haven't told already.
Yeah, we got 3 more weeks of this.
Yes. Yeah, they want to know exactly what we just
talked about.
They want our guidance, experience, journey, frustrations, and reasoning behind being poly so they can get more of a knowledge base on it.
Thank you, Ocasia. And I'm going to pose that How do you share without hurting? I think that's
a good question
to answer right now. I don't know. It's kind of like that whole, you have to like love yourself fully thing, which I don't necessarily believe, like love yourself to be loved. Cause I think that you can, you deserve love even if you're like not fully okay with yourself. But I think you have to be at a certain place within yourself in order to be polyamorous.
Mm-hmm.
Like you can't be, I mean, you can be jealous, but you have to be at a certain level where you're actually even comfortable with that jealousy.
Mm-hmm. And share without hurting on another spectrum, if you're thinking about sharing with your partner without hurting them, ask them what they want to know. Like, don't start sharing intimate details if you are already in a polyamorous situation when they said they don't want to know anything about your partners. Like, it's just about setting those parameters. If they're saying that they want to know all the things that are happening so they feel comfortable, then you also have to feel comfortable agreeing to that, because that's how you're going to move forward. So it's just about, as we've been saying, it's communicating. It's what they want. Not that it would be weird, but most likely they wouldn't be hurt if you've agreed to polyamory, because it's something that you guys agreed on. But don't like force it on them, intimate details or not, you know.
That's a different take on the word share.
Yeah, I don't know.
What did they mean?
I don't know.
Hopefully we answer.
Yeah, hopefully.
Also,
sharing, another take on the word share.
Well, when you said that's a different take on sharing, that brought me back to what you were saying about being in two relationships and not neglecting anyone. So like being equal and fair with your time, with your priority, so that everyone feels loved and attended to the best that you can, because one, you're human and you have other multiple roles as a person. Child, a friend, niece, auntie, uncle, whatever.
Employee, you know, podcaster.
You have other life roles. So, you know, sharing the rest of the time that you do have equally so that no one feels neglected and unattended to will help in sharing without hurting.
Mm-hmm. Which means like there has to be some labor in terms of like your personal time management and stuff like that.
Yeah.
And honesty.
Mm-hmm. If you don't have time to be in one relationship, you probably shouldn't be in two or three.
Yeah.
And also being consistent, meaning that, you know, if you said you were going to go see Avengers Infinity War with one, don't go sneak off and see it with the other, because that's rude.
Damn. One time I got in trouble for seeing Batman versus Superman with the wrong boyfriend. And I was like, it's not even a good movie. Like, get the fuck out of here, son. I fell asleep during the movie.
Oh, well, man. Be consistent, Samantha.
I didn't say I was gonna. I was whatever. I never said I was gonna see it.
When I was dating, he's I went like, on the I same movie twice.
I expected us to see it together.
Oh, well, there goes those expectations without communication.
See?
It all ties in together. Yeah. It all ties in somewhere.
There's no aha. Whatever.
And that also actually answers one of our other questions. I believe that we put out a survey to ask people what their questions were on Instagram.
Yes.
And at @xvibesandstuff_ is what their thing is. It says, that's on Instagram. How does one balance out multiple relationships? There it is right there. Time management.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then mad communication.
Mad communication.
Like, you think it's hard communicating with one person? You have to communicate with both.
It's actually great that you said that. You just know that. Like, that's self-awareness. Like, if you just know it's not for you, then don't do it. Like,
you need that self-awareness. Yeah. You need that emotional intellect to engage in polyamory. And I don't want to. I also just don't want to do the labor.
Yeah.
That's the place where I am in now that I'm aware of this. And I'm like, nigga, no.
Who got time for two niggas?
Facts. Both of y'all wanting songs.
I did have a question, though, for you guys, I guess. Because I know we asked question before, but this is just one question.
Uh-huh.
If you're a polyamorous and you're with someone, right? Like, but you're talking to or like flirting with someone, but you say you're single, is that wrong?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, because you're not being honest with all parties involved. Mm-hmm. But some people do that, and I was gonna say I understand why. Okay, I used to do that. I wouldn't say that I was single. I just wouldn't say anything.
Yeah.
Because men don't give a fuck. And these are men who I just wanted to sleep with, and I knew that they wouldn't care.
You didn't want
to
get into the nuances of like,
yeah, because they're dumb too. Yeah. So then it would be like, oh, so you be fucking women? And it'd be like, I didn't say that. Like, it's just, like, dumb.
You didn't want to...
dealing with cisgender heterosexual
men. You didn't
want
to delve into it knowing that you were trying to fucking leave. Like, I'm not going to be speaking to you.
And then also that they wouldn't even understand. So, if, like, it was another guy...
Damn, Smith, the company's intellect.
Nah, they dumb. I'm sorry. Like, if the person would say, like, they're poly and they're bio, then sure, then we can have that conversation. But there's just, like, a lot of dumb niggas out there, and it just wasn't... It wasn't real. Like, when I did... Like, the people who I did open up to about that, after a while, it would just be like... Like, one nigga, I was just like, I just casually mentioned my boyfriend, and that was my intro to it. And he was like, "Who's your boyfriend? Me?" And I was like, "What the fuck are you talking about?" Ooh. So, yeah.
Yeah, I understand. It seems like we answered Alyssa Milan's question too. What is the definition of polyamory? I heard someone use the word polysexual the other day, but she said she was not polyamorous. If I am in an open relationship or having group sex with my primary partner without dating the other people, does that make me polyamorous, polysexual? I don't know. Is polysexual a word?
Polysexual is actually used interchangeably with pansexual, from what I
know. I'm looking that up right now, and it doesn't mean that person doesn't mean what they think it means. Mm-hmm. But I think that person wanted to say that they're just like ethically non-monogamous.
Yeah, I was gonna say that's the term for you.
Yeah, polysexual seems to mean pansexual. Basically. Yeah. But yeah, the definition of polyamory, which you stated earlier at the top of the show, if you're in an open relationship, you can be polyamorous, but you can also just be non-monogamous.
So you could be polysexual and polyamorous.
But
polysexual does not equate ethical non-monogamy.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Here comes Rob.
Should we answer this one from Rob?
I'm so tired.
Yeah, let's end with this one from Rob.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Pan-African booty scratcher. I wonder who that is. Do people change their minds? And if so, what happens next?
Yeah. Before my relationship ended, we were monogamous. We switched back to monogamy. So yeah, people do change their minds. And when you change your mind, you just like, I feel like immediately when you feel like your mind has changed, you have a conversation with your partner and you talk about it. Mm-hmm. And you renegotiate whatever your boundaries are.
I think the worst thing you could do is continue to do so even though you've changed your mind, because you don't want to feel like you're letting the other person down.
Exactly.
Which I think is common what people will do, but it's like, if you're not comfortable with it anymore, if it's not something you want to do, say it. Mm-hmm. It's going to be a repeated mantra of communicate. So
exactly.
It is, you're allowed to change your mind.
Exactly. That's an important thing to remember and like not feel guilty for it or whatever. We can plow through some more.
Where are we? Oh, a Sweetback. Okay.
That's
yes.
Such
oh,
a
yes.
Funny name.
A Sweetback.
Sweetback.
Is three
writes,
people in a relationship a thing? What is the name for it? And are people into it? Three people are into a thing. Sam calls it a throuple, which I've heard is not correct. It's called a triad.
Okay. I don't know why he said that, because people call it both. If you look it up right there, it says it's also known as a triad. It's a three-way relationship.
Yes, people are into it.
Yeah. People are definitely into it. It has a name. So now you know people are into it.
Yeah.
That seems interesting. It
has multiple names.
It does have multiple.
Throuple, triad, three-way relationship. Mm-hmm. There are also people in four-way relationships. Mm-hmm. Things like that.
What that seems hard.
Yeah. I mean, maybe it's not, though. I don't know.
It's probably not, but I mean, or it is. I mean,
I feel like once you get in the swing of the communication and stuff, it's like, all right, we chill.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And there's just a lot of support there.
That'd be kind of lit now I think about it. You just like, it's just like a group of friends, but you're all together.
Exactly. It's kind of like, nice.
Let's go out on a date.
If they have kids too, that's like a good situation to raise
a
kid.
It's a village.
Yeah.
It's a village.
Yes,
that is a village raising a child. Yeah.
That's the support you need.
A lot of incomes, a lot of grown people. Incomes.
Yeah.
That's nice.
As long as everyone's like doing it together.
A lot of people
cool.
to share the labor. Anybody can pick you up from soccer, Tommy.
Exactly.
Just let us know.
Exactly. Like. That's nice. Yeah.
At Shavuvi Badass, these are some great names, guys. What are the distinctions between polyamory and open relationship? That's funny. I didn't know that they asked it. That was my question too. We answered that question, so just go right on back.
Yeah,
if you haven't heard it already. At Set the Lives, how do you parent in poly relationships? What does that look like in practice? It depends. I know a situation, and they don't tell their children at all, mostly because I guess it's kind of the same theory of you wouldn't. they wouldn't, because not you, anybody can talk to, they don't talk to their kids about their sex lives, period. Like, if they were into BDSM, they might not want to tell their kids about it. So it's just an aspect of their relationship. If it's a polyamorous relationship where you're having kid, where you have kids with both people, maybe you do co-parenting. I don't know. It's again, that's a parameter that you would set within your own relationships. Hmm. And you're, of course, being a parent, it's just different.
Yeah, I would be interested in talking to someone.
Yeah, that would be great.
Yeah.
Did you ask that question because you're interested in it, or you know someone? Because if you do, let us know, because we want to talk to them.
Good question.
At a.linb. How do I let a guy know I want an open relationship without him thinking I don't want him?
Literally just say, I want to know. Okay, not. I'm not an expert in this. Yeah, Take that away.
I did have this conversation. It is something that you just kind of have to, if it's something, it's a burning question, you just rip the Band-Aid off. It's a definite possibility that he'll think that, quote unquote, he's not enough for you. But do you
put some padding there, though?
Oh, like, I padded it.
I want when to I did spend... it. A great deal of time with you, if not the rest of my life, but
like a compliment there are
things
sandwich?
Within me. Yes, a compliment sandwich.
Love me one of those.
Exactly.
I kind of, like, for me, I just started with an example, or kind of like a theoretical situation. I was just like, so, like, if I met someone, but I told you, or I don't remember exactly how I phrased it, but it was immediately met with, like, nah. So, like, it's kind of, if you know that they're not with any scenario, don't be like, well, I want an open relationship, unless that's really what you feel strongly about, then, you know, do it. But yeah. I did a little drop to see how that would go, and it didn't go. So I mean, I'm being realistic, because I don't want you to think that it's always going to be like, oh,
me too.
Everyone's down with the
like,
shit.
It was really kind of like, in the first time that I did it, he was kind of like, am I not enough for you? It was a lot of backlash, and it was just like, okay, that's not going to happen in this relationship. And then the second time, it went fine. It was kind of like, oh, you think about that too, and now it's cool. So you never know.
I do think the example thing is a good thing, because that's also how I set up mine. It was like the podcast episode that I always talk about. I'm sick of saying that at this point, but it was a podcast episode about polyamory. Shout out to Negroes with a Podcast. And that was just like a good intro to it without me explaining everything. Because especially if you're not the expert, like, maybe have him listen to this episode or whatever. And he's like, oh, open relationships or whatever. Yeah. Although I feel like 15 minutes in, he'll be like, why am I listening to this?
Or just like, if you see like a meme or something and it's like,
yeah, exactly.
You can just be like, isn't this funny, babe? And then he's just like, oh, or she's like, oh, that seems kind of cool. And then you're like, wait, really? And then that's when
I'm on that though.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm about that. No, that's so bad.
I'm just the type of person to always pose random, really random scenarios, because I'm annoying. So like, it wasn't out of the ordinary, so I didn't really get like, are you interested in that? But you should just, you know,
go for it. Yeah.
And at Nova_darling_, that's okay, she's gotta have it. Rules for a threesome.
Trash
Listen to Threesome Whisperers for rules on a threesome. But yeah, I've never had a threesome.
Me neither.
Nah.
So
we've never had.
So
threesomes.
I just refer back to the episode Threesome.
We had
Whisperers.
People who were experts on threesomes, so they are the ones. But
I think another thing about that is just like that whole communication thing or whatever. Yeah. Like beforehand, just be like, do you have any limits, any boundaries,
and
any wants, any needs?
Unlike our lovely hoe of the week, do not have any edibles that would have any adverse side effects to you.
Oh yeah.
As you communicate your needs.
Oh yeah, don't do that. Don't get too high. Also, I just feel like I think a lot of people do like drinks and drugs and stuff like that before a threesome, but maybe don't do that.
Don't.
Unless
do
you
that.
Guys are all just like smokers, and then you just like know each other or something.
Yeah,
just
be as sober as you can. Yeah. Because it's like a new situation, like kind of like going
initial,
into BDSM.
Yeah, for like the initial, I guess.
Yeah.
If that becomes something you habitually do, do it safely.
Yeah.
But initially, try to be as sober as possible.
Yeah.
And what would be your rules for a threesome?
Get freaky with the people, them. Talk a lot. Oh, what would my boundaries be?
Yes.
Like what I need and stuff like that. Oh, this is funny because I actually did have this conversation with a couple, but it just like fizzled out. I think I had another conversation with another couple too. No, I didn't.
Sam's
this was only
options.
One.
We keep talking about this.
Exactly.
Know. Sam's like, you know, I was siphoning through some of my threesome opportunities. And I'm just like, I cannot relate to you in any way right now. I'm just like, okay.
I don't remember what I said. I was kind of just like with the shits. I think it was just like, oh, condoms and like get tested or whatever. And they were waiting on me to get tested, and I like hadn't gotten tested in months because I was waiting for something. And then I did, and I never hit them up. But yeah, just everybody use condoms and like don't mix the condoms. So if it's like in always. Me, then take it off, and then if you put it in her, take it blah blah blah. I think that's the only thing that I said. I was kind of just with the shits.
I think I'd be more with.
I think I would have more rules if I was someone's girlfriend and I was doing it with my partner.
Yeah, that's what I was
And then going
thinking.
Into it. But I was kind of just like the unicorn in the situation. I was just like, whatever.
I think for me, a group sex or an orgy situation would be more ideal than a threesome. I feel like a threesome is too intimate. Like, I can deal with like a whole room getting down.
Yeah.
Because I've been invited to sex parties and I haven't done it yet. But I can like see myself going to one more than just like... okay, because I'm just awkward. So like, it's awkward with one person, and then it's just like another person. So I was just like, you're kind of not then, looking anywhere else but at the other person here.
Yeah, it's really kind of a harsh spotlight.
You
right?
really have to get a unicorn on the show, because it's like, are you, if you're entering into people who already have an intimate setup, let's all be real, when you've been having sex with the same person for a while, you have a rhythm.
Yeah.
You know, me how coming in, how do I step my foot in? I don't want you guys to like... shut me out inadvertently. Like, I need to know.
Or the other way around, where it's just like, then the, like, if it's like a MFF threesome or whatever, where the male just like goes for the new partner and then just leave, like, I don't want you to just leave the shorty out there.
Exactly.
Because then that makes me feel awkward.
I gotta come get her, pull her in.
Yeah. But then I also don't want the male to just like not do anything. It's just me and shorty. It's just like, I need some dick.
Like, I don't want him just like sit down, like, and he's watching. I'm like, nah, you're gonna get in on this.
Yeah.
Too much. But
you gotta set up some chemistry, man.
Yeah. But yes, that's just a taste, guys. A taste of the whole of
what's
May.
To come.
Yes.
Pun intended. Come.
Thank you so much. Got it.
Come. Send it back.
All right. That's it for me, man. Let's say our plugs and go.
And if you would like to follow us on social media, you can do so by following Inner Hoe Uprising without the G on Twitter, or Inner Hoe Uprising on Instagram and Facebook, innerhoeuprising.com to pay a bitch or to check out merchandise. To pay a hoe.
Yeah. Don't call me a bitch.
Yeah.
Don't call me queer either.
Apparently. I'm queer. So, but you can follow me on Revy or Not on Instagram and on Twitter.
Nice.
I don't mind. So, yeah.
Good.
You guys can find me at Hey A Cool Girl on Instagram and Twitter.
Slam Rid on Instagram and Twitter. And fuck Snapchat. We don't use that shit no more. Enter our contest. Yay.
Woo.
Bye.
Bye.